We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
I think the bulk of the Christian moral tradition says that torture is never morally permissible. If you go to Christian scripture, you go to the wide arc of Christian social teachings, you get a very consistent historical answer that it's never right to torture another human being.
That's Dr. Sean Casey, professor of Christian ethics, Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. He says not only scripture, but also the course of Christian thought in history says never ethical, never right to torture another human being. Well, Leonard Pitts is writing this weekend asking the question why this tolerance among Christians for torture. He rehearses a litany of historical examples of Christians looking the other way when wrong is done on a massive scale. And then he says, according to a new Pew poll, Christians, especially those that are attending church, are looking the other way on torture too. 62% of them say, you know, it's permissible. Are you one of them? Or do you have moral qualms about torture? Does torture trouble you, but you think it's a necessary evil? Do you think torture is sinful? Do the ends justify the means when it comes to an issue like torture? I want you to give me a call. It's open lines for the last half hour of the program on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. Our call-in number, I do want to hear from you, your answer to those questions, 1-877-623-6943. I know you have an opinion on torture. Everyone does. 1-877-623-MYIE. Or you can email your questions, your comments, your answers to talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. We're going to be hearing a report from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly, The Moral Debate About Torture. And I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org.
In the ongoing national debate about the morality of torture, the question is whether it's ever the lesser evil. We want to identify the underlying principles in the debate, beginning with part of President Obama's reply at his news conference last Wednesday, when he was asked whether he thought the Bush administration had sanctioned torture.
What I've said, and I will repeat, is that waterboarding violates our ideals and our values. I do believe that it is torture. You start taking shortcuts, and over time, that corrodes what's best in a people. It corrodes the character of a country.
But can torture sometimes be justified? Jean Bethke Elstein is a professor of social and political ethics at the University of Chicago Divinity School and at Georgetown University. She joins us from Nashville. Sean Casey is a professor of Christian ethics at Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington. Welcome to you both. Sean.
Thank you.
Never?
I think the bulk of the Christian moral tradition says that torture is never morally permissible. If you go to Christian scripture, you go to the wide arc of Christian social teachings, you get a very consistent historical answer that it's never right to torture another human being.
What's the underlying reason for that?
Well, you look at basic scripture, you look at Jesus in the Gospels about love your neighbor as yourself, do not repay evil for evil, love your enemy. So there's this sense that each person is created by God in the image of God and has an inherent dignity, and torture would render that dignity undermined.
And Jean, what are the underlying principles for you?
Well, the underlying principle for me is what I would call an ethic of responsibility. That's an ethic that is especially important when we're talking about statesmen and stateswomen who often have the lives of thousands in their hands, quite literally.
All right, there's both sides. Now, it's kind of a nuanced position here, but one side of, and these both have a home in Christian tradition and thought. One side says no torture under no circumstances. It's intrinsically evil, and where you might view it as a lesser of two evils, it's intrinsically evil and should never be tolerated by Christians. The other side says, well, yes, it is mostly wrong, but there are circumstances and there are certain roles in life wherein someone might find it a necessary and lesser evil. Where do you stand on torture? It's Audio Open Lines this Tuesday afternoon, May the 12th. I want to hear from you. Do you think it is ever justified, or do you think there are certain circumstances in which it is justified, limited circumstances, albeit? Or do you believe that in war, like in love, all is fair? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Susan is calling from her car. Hi, Susan.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well.
I believe that torture is one of those things that are never excusable. I mean, I understand all the practical arguments, but they really fall. When you really put the gospel to the issue and you ask that question, which I think every Christian needs to ask, what would Jesus do? I really can't see Jesus saying, well, geez, in this circumstance, I'm going to waterboard and it's okay. And I do believe in the slippery slope. And I do believe that if you start one little thing, it's going to lead to another. Suddenly, maybe it's okay to torture this guy, and then it becomes another group. And after that, another group. I mean, I think we all have to remember what happened in Nazi Germany when several different people were systematically arrested by the Nazis, and each different group kept silent until finally, I think it was Niebuhr who said, when they came to get me, there was no one to save me. And that's because every other group had stayed silent. You know, it's just an expansion of evil. And we can't fall into it. And it's just never excusable.
Okay, Susan, real quickly before I let you go, the classic scenario in which this is presented is, and I want your response to it is, look, what if there's an immediate threat from a terrorist group? You've got the mastermind in your custody. He has information on this threat. Of the kind of a 9/11 or something like that. And if you can get this information, you can stop it and prevent the deaths of these people. Is that a circumstance under which, as little as we'd want to, we would resort to torture? What are your thoughts there?
No, because he's there. If he's as evil as he is, he's not going to tell the truth anyway. And so what is the point? And maybe that's all part of his plan anyway. No, I think that that's one of those ridiculous arguments that have been thrown up, and that's all that it really is, to really take people off of the real issue, which is whether or not it's appropriate to do that to another human being. And to say that what if, hypothetically, the whole world's at risk, you know what, it's just a BS argument.
Susan, before I let you go, what are your thoughts or what are your positions on war in general or self-defense?
I understand that there's the just war theory. I understand that, you know, humans are fallible and certainly fallen creatures, and we unfortunately result to violence to settle disputes, and it's horrible. And I think every time that we fall into that trap, all we are doing is repeating the initial fall. All we're doing is justifying what another person's going to do with me. So do I think any war is justifiable? No. And I think that it's just another excuse that we humans like. Instead of doing what we're supposed to do, which is resolve conflicts through humbleness and love and really becoming accountable for myself, not for lame blame at somebody else's feet because they're brown, they're black, they're Muslim or whatever other category they are that is the other of me.
All right.
We're to love one another.
Susan, thank you very much. I appreciate your phone call. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Mike is calling from his car. Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Very well.
I guess I'm not personally opposed to torture, but, you know, you can open up this whole can of worms of what is torture. You know, medieval stuff is probably a lot different than letting caterpillars crawl across somebody. But, you know, from our perspective, we have to say, who's our neighbor? And I guess if we keep that in mind, you know, the guy that you're questioning is your neighbor, so you probably don't want to do something unneighborly to him. But also, you brought up that, you know, the maybe the straw man argument or whatever, but you've got this guy that could, the information he has could stop a lot of people from being hurt, you know, and are those people also your neighbors? I think that's something that, we also have to keep in mind here. And also that, you know, the people that are doing this, I don't think are, you know, the interrogators, I think, are probably highly trained, and they've got very specific rules on it. So it's not like they're just doing it for fun either. So, I mean, that's another thing that gets lost in this whole shuffle. So I guess that's some of my thoughts. But I think it's interesting how, or I think it'd be interesting to also cross this with maybe people's views on capital punishment. I think that might also be a place where this might cross.
All right, Mike, thank you very much. We're talking about torture and Christianity. Leonard Pitt says Christians are too tolerant of torture. It's inconsistent with their viewpoint, the other viewpoints they espouse. What about you? Do you tolerate it? Do you think it is a necessary evil? Or do you think it's a lesser of evils in some cases? Or never should be tolerated by Christians under any circumstances? 1-877-623-6943-877-623-MY-IE or talkback at issuesetc.org. We'll go back to the phones on the other side of the break. Coming up, the very first day of June. No, it's the 30th day of June. I'm sorry, the last day of June. We're going to be celebrating the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc. to the airwaves. We're going to do it with you. We're inviting you to come out to our LPR studios here in Collinsville, Illinois, starting at 4 o'clock on Tuesday, June the 30th, to celebrate the one-year anniversary of Issues Etc.'s return. You can watch the show being done live here in the studio and then join us outside. If you want to come, you got to RSVP, Craig at issuesetc.org. June 30th marks the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we'd like to celebrate this milestone with you. You're invited to an open house at the studio and office of Lutheran Public Radio beginning Tuesday afternoon at 4 on June the 30th. Food, friendship, and fun. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org. We hope to see you here in Collinsville, Illinois on Tuesday, June the 30th. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The next generation of pastors is more worried about driver's ed and the prom than whether or not they are being called to serve the people of God. Christ Academy is where that all changes. For 2 weeks, high school guys worship, study, and play together and explore their future calling. It's 2 weeks that set a course toward being formed as a servant in Jesus Christ. Christ Academy, June 14 to 27. Registration is open. Call 1-800-481-2155 or visit ctsfw.edu/Christ Academy.
We're going to launch an online version of the Issues Etc. Journal on June the 1st. And you can subscribe by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. Do Christians make progress in their good works? I've written an article for the new online journal titled Sheep Don't Keep Track. You'll also find an article detailing Pastor George Borghardt's journey from Catholicism to Lutheranism. Get your copy of the Issues Etc. Journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
I would say that there are extraordinary circumstances when harrowing judgments must be made by those we tax with the responsibility of keeping us safe. Mm-hmm. And at those times, there may be a lesser evil kind of calculation to be made.
That is Dr. Jean Belfke-Elstein, professor of social and political ethics at the University of Chicago Divinity School and Georgetown University, says there are circumstances, extraordinary circumstances, albeit, wherein torture can be practiced. What do you say? 1-877-623-6943. What are your thoughts on torture? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-I-E, 877-623-6943. And our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Jane's waiting on the line. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Todd. I hate it, but I think that it's a necessary thing in war. And I think that from what's been in all of the media, if you only listen to one side of it, that the mainstream media wants you to know about it, there's more to it than just what they're saying. And like with the waterboarding, when they were doing that, they actually had doctors right there. They had other people to make sure that they were not killed. Yes, frightening. And through waterboarding, they stopped airplanes from going into a big building in L.A., which was going to be just like the 9/11 event. And do we hate it? Yes. But that's defending ourselves, and it's awful. War is hell. But that's the way it is.
All right, Jane, thank you very much. Now, see, Jane put it well, at least in this sense, that what she made an equation there. Did you notice it? And that is the argument made in favor of torture by Christians. Not in favor of torture, but for permitting what we abhor under certain circumstances is its self-defense. Do you think that argument holds water? That torture, if practiced in its permissible form, will be essentially self-defense. Maybe it's even preemptive self-defense, but it's self-defense nonetheless, and therefore justified. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Tom in Texas says, torture is an imprecise, somewhat nebulous term. What is considered torture by one individual may not be considered torture by another. Well, yes, that's true. But let's not become relativists here. He goes on, the spankings I received as a young child definitely deserved were considered torture by me. There were child psychologists who would have charged my parents with torture, I'm sure. It was anything but torture, writes Tom in Texas. While the end doesn't always justify the means, I would say, Tom, it never justifies the means. The means of my personal torture, quote-unquote torture, surely had a beneficial result which outweighed the quote-unquote torture I endured. The Obama administration terms the enhanced interrogation techniques as torture. Many do not. Beauty for me, or torture, is in the eye of the beholder. As the father of a future potential right-wing terrorist, my son is currently serving in the United States Navy. I have a different view on a number of things than the current administration does. In a word, I do not consider waterboarding to be terror. I think he meant torture. All right, but the question here isn't, what is torture? Because that's a question that we can't simply exhaust. I'm asking for your opinion. Whatever it is you consider torture to be, do you think it's ever justified? Do you think it's right under certain circumstances and wrong under other circumstances? Now, I want you to think about that, because are you going to be a situational ethicist when it comes to torture? Are you going to say, well, you know, when Al-Qaeda tortures American servicemen in Iraq, tortures them for information, to get information, to save lives of their comrades, it's wrong. That in that situation, it's wrong. But when we torture to save American lives, it's right. That's called being a situational ethicist. The circumstances determine whether or not the action is right or wrong. Now, if you're comfortable with that moral position, then you're the one who has to sleep at night. But I want to know your thoughts on torture. Is it justified? Is it always wrong? Is it sometimes right? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Sumner in Arnold, Missouri. Hi, Sumner.
Hi, Todd. I think one of the things you bring up is you talk about this is a lesser of two evils. And I guess the problem I have as a Christian is that I have a hard time saying, well, an evil action, even if it's a lesser of evil action, is necessarily a good thing. So So
that's not the argument of the lesser of two evils. The lesser, if you permit me to interrupt for a moment.
Sure.
The lesser of two evils argument is that it remains evil and wrong. Just because it's the lesser of two evils doesn't mean it's suddenly right. That would be kind of a utilitarian view. The lesser of two evils argument says it remains wrong, but it becomes necessary, not right, but necessary in a certain circumstance to do this, or you have no other choice than to do this or commit a greater evil. That's kind of the argument there, Sumner. So okay. Go on if you would.
No. So I still see it as an evil act. So I have to fall on the side I have a real problem with the idea of torture.
All right, Sumner, thank you very much. I appreciate your thoughts there. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. I wonder if after the whole phenomenon of 24, watching Kiefer Sutherland jog across the globe and doing whatever it takes to get his man, to stop the bad guys, I wonder whether or not even people who would think it with a more accurate moral compass think, you know, sometimes you just got to do what it takes. And when you got to do what it takes, it isn't wrong, it's right. Do you think that way morally in any other circumstances? Do you think that, well, for instance, doing what it takes can, if it's required, then suddenly it becomes right instead of being wrong? You suddenly are the one who finally decides what's right and wrong in each and every circumstance, if that's your viewpoint, aren't you? Haven't you made yourself the ultimate arbiter of right and wrong when you say, you know, sometimes I got to do what it takes, and when I got to do what it takes, it isn't wrong, it's right. Now, it would have been wrong for someone else to do it, or it would have been wrong for me to do it under different circumstances, but when I got to do it, it's right. You make yourself the judge of right and wrong. Suddenly, right and wrong is no longer an objective standard to which you and everyone else must answer. It becomes your own subjective standard. And as I said, if you're comfortable with that, you're the one who has to sleep at night. Benjamin writes, saying, I know that this is taking the definition to an extreme, but wouldn't some consider simple incarceration torture? Parents spanking a child or even putting them in a timeout could be considered torture. I am torn on the issue of torture. On the one hand, torturing a person for no reason is appalling. However, I think there's times when people have to be punished. If a terrorist has information about a potential attack, it would be beneficial to obtain that information, though we can ask that person will not tell. My understanding of waterboarding is that it is safe but very unpleasant. The person being waterboarded believes that he is in danger and has a fear of drowning. If it is done safely in a controlled environment, it could result in information being provided to save thousands without killing the terrorist. Yes, I mean, that's the argument here, but the question isn't what is torture. The question is, let's say waterboarding is. Let's not even talk waterboarding. Let's just say pulling someone's fingernails out with a pliers. No one would say that's not torture physically, right? But you'll survive it, right? You go on to live a productive life without your fingernails, wouldn't you? Is it ever justified? If that's what it takes to get the information out of the terrorist. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Here's where we cannot land as Christians. We cannot land on the side of the situational ethicist who says, it's wrong for Osama bin Laden, but not for me, or Jack Bauer, whoever, the State Department, whoever is doing it. It's not wrong because we're the ones doing it, or it's not wrong because we're on the right side of this conflict. The situation does not determine the right or the wrong of any given action. The right or the wrong of any given action is determined by an objective standard, not the subjective standard of your own feelings about it or the situation at hand. The most the situation can do is tell you that something wrong might be necessary, or at least, as far as you can tell, necessary. But it can't make a wrong right. The saying, all is fair in love and war, is a lie. If all is fair in love and war, then I can determine for myself. I can set myself up as judge, and I can determine for myself, am I at war? Well, it feels like war to me, so all is fair. That's a recipe for moral chaos. The ends never justify the means. Now, the means might be wrong and the ends might be, in the end, better than they would have been if you hadn't done the wrong thing. That's called doing the necessary evil. But you still say, with your eyes wide open, it is evil. We have a new online journal that's going to be launching on the 1st of June. I want you to be looking for it, but in order to get it, you have to email us and ask to be put on the list. The email is journal@issuesetc.org, journal@issuesetc.org. The new journal, which will be online only and will launch on June 1st, contains an article by me called Sheep Don't Keep Track, Stop Measuring Your Moral Progress, and Never Sorry Enough by Pastor George Borghardt, talking about his trip from Rome to the Reformation. That's journal@issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk to Ed Meese about the future of the Supreme Court. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.